Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of CookieCast. Today on CookieCast, it's the Darkest Timeline. So just me, just talking, you know, usual nonsense. Another tired one, so probably won't make a lot of sense. I'm talking about the Wednesday Curse again, people, because that one never gets old. Climbing, because that one never gets old. TV, movies, computer games, and being tired, because that one never gets old. Sorry, I think I nodded off for a second. Before we start, please do consider like, share, subscribe, and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. And, share the podcast around. Inflict this torture on your friends and family. Right, let's get started. Here we go. This is CookieCast, The Darkest Timeline. I need to find a less spooky way of doing an intro. It's like Halloween every day. I am beyond tired, which is only going to make for a fantastic podcast. Luckily, for everybody involved, I've got next to nothing to talk about, which, if you cast your mind back to last week, having almost nothing to talk about, I mean, did it break like an hour and a half podcast? I'm tired. And luckily for you, I'm going to tell you why. But not just yet. Oh, geez, you know what I haven't done? I haven't written something down on my list. Which is then going to be really annoying because I'm going to try and talk and type. There, rather than talking and typing, just silence, just to get it through it. So I was going to talk about the Wednesday Curse. The Wednesday Curse has become a bit of a running joke. To the point where, like, other people have started talking about, like, oh, you know, Wednesday today, you reckon it's going to be as bad as usual? Like, well, it's Wednesday, of course. Every Wednesday, I try and do, like, a review of what makes the day so bad. I think there's, you know, that element of getting up early, knowing that I've got a full day of parenting on my own, and everything that brings with it. You know, you've got one child going off to school, one child at home. You've got to keep a child entertained while simultaneously not having them trash the house. You've got to get a workout done, a run in the time the child's asleep, knowing full well that might not happen. I've started looking at, you know, the possibility of it being an endorphin thing, because there was a point in time where I was looking at the fact that maybe it was just Wednesday mornings until early afternoon that were the problem. Just the question of this, is this my lot in life? Is this my sort of in some way destiny to suffer every Wednesday. Here's the problem. There was a point in time where I was trying to work out whether it was something to do with the fact, like, if I got up early and went climbing on a Wednesday, is it that? Is it just the fact that I'm tired and everything seems worse? I was like, well, what if it's one of those things where not only is it because I'm tired, but it's because I've had a bad time at climbing? That theory fell down. Wednesday just gone. I'd had a particularly good climb because I'd had this, like, almost huge success, which seems like a strange thing to say. But what I mean is I nearly finished something that would be considered to be quite a feat for me. It's a very long, it's a very long story, and it was, weirdly, it was a story that I'd made the decision not to tell. I realised that there was a point where, I don't know whether I'd maybe felt like I'd gone overkill with climbing stuff. Probably doesn't help for the second agenda item on my list, but we'll get to that in a moment. So I was like, oh, you know, I'm on a high. I've walked away from climbing with a success. Maybe that'll make for a better day. There was two things that had happened. I can't think what one of them was. Oh, no, I know what it was. Driving out onto the main road into completely stood still traffic at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning going, what is the reason for this? And I don't mean like, oh, the traffic's slow moving, or, oh, you know, one car goes and then you have to wait a while. I mean, pulled out into traffic and then just sat there for 10 minutes going, am I supposed to turn round? Issue being was with the place I was going, that was the only way I could go. So I was like, turning around ain't going to help. Turned out to be not one set, two sets of roadworks with traffic light controlled roadworks. I was like, who thought this was a good idea? So that was that one. And then somebody once told me, a friend of mine once told me that a big part of driving is anticipating other drivers. You learn to drive for other people. And anticipating other people's mistakes, ultimately. And I've had in this week, I've had a couple of situations where it's like, if I'd have been someone else, if I'd have been a different type of driver, if I'd have been a different, if I'd not been on the ball as much, I'd have had two accidents this week. One of them was yesterday. And this was the thing. So, like, taking just so long to get where I was going to then pull into a car park, and I saw a situation unfold in front of me. And I was like, that car is going to pull up to that give way and pull straight out. Now, because I knew this, I anticipated it and I adjusted what I was doing. I slowed right down. I sort of coasted up to the point in time. But I knew with 100% certainty the person driving was going to just go straight out. Reason being is they were only looking one way. And this is exactly what happened. They got to a give way. They pulled straight out without looking in my direction. And I was like, luckily for me, I'd seen it, I'd anticipated it, and I dealt with it. But at no point in time did the driver look. So in the end, because it wasn't like one of those situations where, like, partway through the manoeuvre, they then looked and went, oh, I've been the cause of what would have been an accident. That's terribly bad of me as a driver. I should acknowledge my mistake and move on about my day. None of that. So I beeped the horn as a, I need you to understand that if it wasn't for me, there would have been an accident here. I need you to understand that when you approach a give way, not only do you need to do the giving way part, you need to look both ways. And obviously, you know, wildly sort of acknowledging the situation, lots and lots of apologies and so on. And I'm like, I don't need that. I need this to not be a thing in the future. And that's why I'm bringing it to your attention. I get to the shops. I sent Leanne a message. And my message was, it was just fucking Wednesdays. And, you know, she's like, what's happened? I was like, these are all the things that's happened so far today. And then I started anticipating the next set of things that were going to go wrong. Part of my life and existence is about just accepting that this is my lot in life and kind of moving on and dealing with it. And another part of me is like, I honestly think somebody's going to get injured the rate things are going. I've not written something else on my list, honestly. Not with it this week, children. One second. It makes little difference, but if I don't write it down, I think we all know what's going to happen. So I was gonna do a big old breakdown on the Wednesday curse. Decided against it, and have now basically spent the last 11 minutes talking about it. You know, best laid plans and all that. Decided this weekend just gone, to try something new, try something different. No, not like that. It had been suggested that we try out the other climbing establishment in York. And one of those things where it was decided as a collective unit that we would all go as a family. So then I have to deal with all of those aspects. And all of those aspects are in some way, shape or form. I was about to say, in some way, shape or form, an absolute shit show. That's not true. So I shouldn't have said that. And I didn't. How's best to describe it? Each of my children are different. And I don't just mean the obvious that, you know, they're all different ages and, you know, some of them are different sexes. I mean, they're all different. And knowing that is half the battle, as they say. So knowing that each of my children are different and they're I literally had a conversation the other day, I think with one of them, if not a couple of them, where I said, you know, you say the phrase, I love all my children equally. That is absolutely not true. I then went on to describe how ultimately all of your children are different and they all need different things at different times in different ways. And that then has that knock-on effect. So I know my eldest's reaction to doing something that's different is going to be the same as always. Well, it's different, so it's wrong, and it's bad. I accept that my middle daughter will largely go with the flow. You've got that. However, it's a subject, activity, or whatever that has caused issues in the past. My youngest daughter, most of the time, just happy to be included. And my son will just look for any possible way of causing some form of destruction. So, take all of those things into account. Add into the fact that, you know, my son will need to have a sleep at some point. Add into the fact that we're all going, but as parents, adults, whatever, we're not going to both get the opportunity to climb. Then there's the cost aspect, and just these all of these different things to take into account. So we thought we'd come up with the best possible plan. Get there early, get the lay of the land, see how things go, so on and so forth, see what's best, who to pay for, who to check in, and so on. So that was that. The deal was made, the table was set, the whatever. Away we go. I made sure that we were in a position to be able to get there on time, I guess would be the way of putting it. Basically, we wanted to be there for opening, which is what we did. We get there. Talking about like checking in and, you know, oh, have any of you climbed before? It's like, yeah. Yeah. You know the point in time where you asked if any of us needed shoes and I was like, oh, we just need one pair of shoes. Yeah, we're not doing this barefoot. That was just me being a bit of a... I didn't say that. That was just me being a little bit of a dick. In my head. Not in person. So, something that needs taken into account is that it wasn't cheap. Anyway, there's a lot of, oh, if you've not climbed here before, you need an induction. Like, okay, I guess. I know the deal here. And the deal is, I was probably in my head being a little bit snobbish. Thinking, I don't know how to describe it. Thinking of being, you know, anyway, got all the children, sat down, went through an induction. Very simple in a lot of ways, and there was a lot of, if you're new to this place, if you're new to climbing, go over here and climb on this. So, some of the plus sides of going somewhere new. It was big. It was a big place. It was a place that had a lot more things to climb, a lot more different types of climb. They used a different grading system. There was, I think it's okay to say that there was just more. Variety is good. Variety, you know, different is good. So these are all pluses. They had some archways. Things were spread out enough that ultimately you could go somewhere and you weren't in other people's way. They had changing rooms, places to put your bags and stuff. One of the things that was interesting was they had like a self-service system for coffee. The coffee machine was just, you just literally beeped your phone to pay, said what coffee you want, and it just made it. That was kind of an interesting take, a novel take on it. One of my children absolutely loved it. It was very much at their level. One of my other children did more climbing there than they've ever done, like, altogether. To the point, one of the things was that my son got the opportunity to put a pair of shoes on and have a go, which was just hilarious. And one of my children reacted the exact way that was expected. Yeah, it's fine, but it's not as good. Yeah, because it's different. What didn't help the situation was that I agreed. And a lot of that is to do with the downsides to the place. First and for me, foremost, absolutely up there at the top of the list was it was absolutely freezing there. And I said more than a few times, I honestly think I'm going to lose two toes on each foot to frostbite. It was one of those that the cold got into my bones and I was still dealing with the cold at 9 o'clock at night. It was one of those levels of cold. I got cold, it got into my bones and I couldn't shift it for the rest of the day. So there was that. The fact that I personally felt like a lot of the lower level climbs were aimed at children, and because of that, the handholds, footholds, and all of that sort of stuff were also aimed at children. So they were a lot smaller. Now, as a larger man, I have larger hands and larger feet. So there was this confusion around how are you supposed to climb this stuff when it's so small? And just very, very strange. There was things like, there seemed to be a party situation going on. Okay, cool, that's kind of a cool thing. You book a birthday party to go and do some climbing. That's kind of a cool thing. Cool, cool, cool. What's not cool is to close off a section of your climbing establishment for a party. Also, and I feel this was kind of a big thing, the person who was like, oh, I'm just closing off this section, you can't go past here and here, and da 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 da, said, it's okay though, because it's only going to be for about 15 minutes. It was like well over an hour. So, misleading, let's say. We got into a thing, we got into a situation where we'd sort of made a game towards the back end, spent probably an hour playing this game. It was very entertaining for the children. Not gonna lie, not so entertaining for me, and I'm not criticizing the children in any way. I'm criticizing myself. It worked on the principle that once you started climbing, you couldn't come down until you'd completed the game. Doesn't work well for me because obviously I'm not a very good climber, so it held less interest for myself. There were things like Liam was like, saying that my son could climb for a small amount of money, and all morning we're like, well, what you want? Should we get him in a pair of shoes or do all this? And just ran, and then in the end it was like, yeah, let's give it a try. So I go and I'm like, I'd like to get my son booked in, and the price Leanna told me and the price they charged me was twice as much. So I went back and I was like, just remind me how much it was supposed to be for him. She's like, oh, it was this much. I was like, absolutely wasn't. Twice as much. It's like, oh, yeah, you'll have had to pay for shoes. Like, yeah, forgot about that bit, didn't we? It was an expensive day out, is what I will say. And that's nobody's fault other than the fact that myself, Leanne, and all of my daughters have some form of paid for climbing at the place we usually go. So it was this like large additional cost on top of money we've already paid out, which I think I got a little stuck on. An interesting experience, a strange experience. Personally, not one I would repeat in a hurry. However, one of my children's already asked to go back. One of my children, I imagine, would very happily go back as soon as possible. I imagine one of my children would happily never go back. So that might take a little bit of creative parenting, I imagine. Now then, at the top of the podcast, I heard you say, Mr. Cook, why are you so tired? I think it's largely to do with depression. No, that's a whole different story. Why am I so tired today, you ask? Well, today I did some volunteering. One of those things, several months ago, I was asked if I wanted to volunteer. The company I work for have done a thing in the last... they've been doing it for some years. However, last year, they made it mandatory that you have to volunteer. One of those things where I'm like, I don't mind that, actually. I think that's kind of a cool thing. Helps the community. As I mentioned at the time, we did X amount of litter picking. So... I agree with it as a concept. Somebody came to me and was like, hey, how about you do some volunteering? And how about you get the exact number of hours you need for a year's worth of volunteering in one go. And I said, abso-positively. So, you know, one of those things that you accept because the part of your brain that deals with time focuses on the fact that it's months away. Yeah, I kind of had that situation. Oh, do you want to do this thing in like 3 or 4 months' time? I was like, yeah. It'll get you all of your volunteering hours in one fell swoop. I was like, perfect. Sounds amazing. Job done. Obviously, we get to last week. You still on for Monday? I had a weird feeling that was coming. Yes, just let me get it booked in. So, with some umming and ahhing, some to and fro, and some up and down and round and round, managed to get volunteering time booked in. Monday morning, 9 o'clock. Monday morning, I am pretty much always in the building by 10 to 9. I work on the principle that that is pretty much given, so we're all good. Anybody remember the roadworks I mentioned? Yeah, rocked up at 9 o'clock and was like, hey, really sorry, I need to go and drop all my stuff off at my desk and I might as well, you know, get logged on while I'm there. Give me a few minutes. Didn't quite realise that they were waiting for me. Like, sorry about that. But anyway, we got started. So the point of the volunteering was to make part of the building we work in look a little nicer. One of the floors, sorting the balcony area out. What was interesting about this was, didn't even know we had a balcony. So that was an interesting development, and presumably why this all came about. There was a thing about taking a load of planters from one floor, moving them to another floor, draining the water out of them, making it so that they'll automatically drain in the future, and then looking at getting them ready to plant a series of plants, along with a variety of other things that are planned for that area. So, any form of heavy lifting, moving, dragging, etc., had the sneaking suspicion was going to fall to me. Short version is, I don't exactly have the greenest thumbs. So I worked on the principle that it wasn't going to take long before someone was like, hey, lift heavy thing. Yeah? No surprises. That is exactly what happened. Right, we need to move all of these big heavy items that are full of water to a different floor using a trolley that will carry 4 of them, making that trolley incredibly heavy. And there's, hang on a minute, I can work it out. 16 of them. And each of them weighs around about a metric ton. So, there was this whole thing about the fact that nobody removed the drainage bungs from the bottom. So they were just all full of water from all the torrential rain we've had. So there was this whole thing about like moving them, draining them, making sure that the plastic bung came out of the bottom to allow future drainage. And for a good percentage of them, moving them across different floors. So it's like, okay, that's that. It is what it is. I felt I was being useful. Did I mention that these planters were, what was that thing? Oh, that's right. Fucking heavy. There was a point in time where me and another lad had gone and moved three from one balcony. And we then went and got another one from another balcony. Moved them across the floors, brought them down to a different floor. Drained them for a second time, removed the bungs so they could drain in the future, put them in place, and that was that. So I was like, okay, cool. Right, we need to go and get more. I was like, okay, I'm going to get more. So I took the trolley and off I went, presuming, what turned out to be incorrectly, that somebody would come and help me. That was not the case. So I then had to move these incredibly heavy planters on my own. I got to, I think it was the second one that I'd done on my own. And I was like, oh, wow, I am flagging. By this point in time, I've had nothing to drink. No water, no coffee, no nothing. We're getting into the realms of about 11 o'clock. And I was flagging. So, managed to do like two or three on my own. And then someone came and was like, oh, you know, you've done this. Right, let's get the rest of these done, get them down, and that should be enough for us. I'm like, cool, because I'm ready for a lie down while someone pours coffee into my eyes. We go across the floors, take the planters. And it's like, right, we've got just under an hour left. Enough time to do another run for planters. The guy I'd been doing this with was literally like, nah, mate, I'm done. So I absolutely cannot manage to do another run for these planters. Me being me, I'm like, I know the people I'm dealing with. I know the question that's been asked. And I also know what that means. What that means is, whether you've got the energy or not, it's getting done. So, the best, easiest, quickest solution is just suck it up and get on with it. So I was like, right, let's go. Person that organised it was like, look, I'll come with you and we'll do it together. The weirdest thing of all of this was, we went off and I was like, right, let's go there. Go here and get these. When we got there, they were like, actually, I think we can just leave those. There's two there. They look fine. They look like they're doing well. So let's leave those and let's go to a different balcony. Like, okay, that's fine by me. I agree. Go up to a different balcony. Go out there. Like, right, let's get these done. In what must have been record time, managed to get four more planters drained, lifted onto the trolley, and moved. I was like, that was like so much quicker. What was the difference? I will say this, on one of the balconies there was no drain, so we had to improvise, let's say. However, on the one we were doing, and the one we were doing last, it did have its own drain, so we just poured the water down the drain. Off we went, dropped off four more planters, removed the rubber bungs, plastic bungs, got them in position, and finished up for the day. And it was, thank you very much, you can go, sort of thing. I walked to my desk, I sat down and was like, I might actually be dying. You know, one of those things where you have reached a level of exhaustion where part of your brain, part of you is questioning whether you've maybe gone too far. I honestly think at the point in time that I was moving planters on my own, I think I probably burnt something out then. Bearing in mind I did two more planters, a trip, and then four more planters after that, I think I went more than a step beyond. I was just like, I need water, I need coffee as fast as humanly possible. It was past 12, so I was like, I need to eat something. I need to get, like, energy of any sort of variety into my body right now. And if I don't, I'm pretty much just going to fall asleep. So on and off for the rest of the day, I was just fighting the urge to just go to sleep. Obviously, it's one of those things. It's good to do something. It's good to do something for the community. As it was, the community in question was our community, as in the working community. The whole thing was designed to produce fruit and veg for, you know, can either donate it to charity, people who work there can have it, etc., etc. So it's good to do that. It's good to do something that's, you know, exercise based. But absolutely exhausting. Somebody said to me, like, oh, did you feel good for doing your volunteering? Was it enjoyable? I was like, no, not really. It was exhausting. Let's talk about some TV stuff. At the moment, I'm struggling. I'm losing the battle, I think. So let's get a move on. The Bear series 2 episodes 1-7 watched. And I know what you're thinking. Well, you've been caning that, haven't you? Well, yes and no. A lot of the time you can watch two episodes inside of an hour, you know. Especially in the first series, they were like 25-minute episodes. Bosh, done, no dramas. Up to episode 6 of this series, I've spent my entire time going, what are we watching? I don't get it. Series 1, obviously you've got the restaurant aspect, you've got the mystery side of things, all of that good stuff. Series 2 seems to have removed all of that, and now we've got an episode about forks. I like The Bear. I enjoy The Bear. I don't know why. If you ask me for a reason, if you wanted me to explain it to you, I can't. I don't have an answer. So, that is kind of that. So, I heard on a podcast recently the people talking about, like, amazing television, and immediately they brought up The Bear. They also mentioned the Christmas episode, and I was like, haven't had the Christmas episode yet. And then they went on to say a few things. So I had a bit of an inkling of what was coming. Then we get episode 6, where, oh, it's Christmas. And I'm like, okay, cool. And in quick succession, past the camera, they were just like, hey, this is going to be the episode with all the cameos in. Because within a matter of seconds, I was like, was that? Hang on a minute, is that? Whoa, I didn't realize they were in this. It was one of those. And then, to put a cherry on top, it was like, holy smokes. So, let's see if I can remember them all. John Mulaney, Gillian Jacobs from Community fame, Bob Odenkirk. It was an episode that had John Berthenthal in because he is a character in it. How many have we got? Oh, Sarah Paulson. Who am I missing? That might be it. Apart from now Oscar-winning actress Jamie Lee Curtis. Now, I'm going to say this here and now. I really like Jamie Lee Curtis. I have enjoyed Jamie Lee Curtis's career from start to finish. I was super happy when she got the Oscar, and I truly believe it was very well deserved. But I was like, this is going to be interesting because this is post-Oscar. So what does this do? Couple of downside-ish. Did not realise before putting this episode on that it was actually an hour. If the collective known that, absolutely would not have watched it. Because we watched episode 5 and then was like, oh, we might as well have another one. Just so freaking intense. A lot of the times in a lot of episodes of The Bear, you end up just feeling stressed out. You really do. You really just like, it's very stressful to watch. You just like, I don't, you know, it's one of those where you kind of feel like you need to take a break. This episode was stress to the max. I will say this, Jamie Lee Curtis was amazing in that episode. Everybody did very well. Everybody was very good, but wow. It was, yeah, an absolute masterclass. Quickly followed by episode 7. Watched that this evening, which was called Forks. It was a whole different thing. Really, it was a really good, really interesting episode, which on the premise, you would think it could have the opportunity to be boring, but was anything but. And it was one of those stories where you're like, somebody who you maybe think isn't as good a character whilst being a great character goes on to do well, goes on to do good things, and you're like, yeah, I like that. I think there's probably 3 episodes left. The fact that the restaurant isn't open at the moment is just very weird. You kind of get it, but at the same time you're like, come on, bro, sort of thing. It's just, yeah. I imagine, unless the next 3 episodes are all an hour apiece, I imagine we'll get this series finished up in the course of the next week, and just in time for series 3. Which I believe is due out this month. Or at least will start this month. Obviously, because of that, there's been no more TV. So let's talk some movies. I've got two movies for you this week, both of them new. So, you know, that's something. I've been working through my Christmas movies. One of them was The Equalizer 3. What can I tell you about The Equalizer 3? I can tell you what I said to a couple of other people. The Equalizer 3 feels to me like at some point in time, Denzel Washington signed a deal to do three films. I don't think it will have been signed initially. I don't think he signed on to do number one and two and three. I imagine, if I had to guess, that he signed on to do one. They went, hey, one was really successful. How about we get you in to do another couple? And he said, sure. Signed on the dotted line, job done. Did the second one, and then had a change of heart. And I wonder if there was maybe a contract negotiation between two and three, where he said something along the lines of, I'll do the third one, but I don't want to do any of the violence. If you want me to do like the talky bits, I'm happy to do that, but I don't want to do any violence. And I imagine the people that were then put in the position of making The Equalizer 3 went, balls, now what do we do? For 3/4 of that film, nothing happens. I'd like to say that's an over-exaggeration. It really isn't. There is a situation right at the start of the film that has already happened. So that's that. The situation has already happened. It is then recapped in flashbacks later. The flashback scene is done in a particular way. This was the first clue to me that Denzel Washington wasn't going to do any of the violence in the film. So, there was that, which was interesting. Nothing happens after that. And it's one of those, it's kind of a watchable nothing. It could almost be like a travel program. Like, somebody's like, hey, I went to this place in Italy, let me show you around. It's a bit like that. The bad guys in it, if you can call them that, are like bad guys on paper. Honestly, I was like, there is nothing that really makes me feel like you lot are bad guys. You're like thugs. Like, a lot of it is like, oh, these guys are the mafia. No, they're not. They're really not. So you get this bit where there's like all this bit of violence that sparks everything off. And like I say, almost no Denzel Washington in the violence. Then it moves on. You get to the back end of the film where something actually happens, and I'm like, I don't think, there are points where it's like, it's clearly not Denzel Washington. There are other points where I'm like, that could quite easily be a body double. And I'm like, the only thing I can think is that there was some sort of contract negotiation that didn't go in the favour of the people making the film, and they literally had to make the best of a bad situation. Now, The Equalizer 1 is a great film. It's a fantastic film. The Equalizer 2 is not. It's a good film that ends badly. The third act act, as it's often known, is bad. And it's really bad. Not much of it makes sense. It's very like, what are we doing here? Whereas a lot of the rest of the film has been quite good. And it really tarnishes the rest of it. So ultimately, what you end up with is a memory of a film where you're like, I don't think that film was very good. Whereas in actual fact, it is quite good. It just leaves a bad taste in your mouth by the end of it. Unfortunately for me, Equalizer 3 just... It just didn't really hit any of the marks. There was this whole Denzel Washington and Dakota Fanning back together again on the screen. It's like, yeah, that was kind of cool. There was a super cool little thing right at the very, very end, which I out loud went, huh, nice. Outside of that, I felt like it was kind of a waste of my time. I was no better off for watching that film. If I'm honest, I was probably worse off for watching it because it was just wasn't very good. It was just a bit dull. Nothing really happened. I don't know. Just my opinion. If you've seen it and you think differently, let's discuss. I watched another film, and it was another new film. I watched Code 8 Part 2. The title might suggest it is a sequel to Code 8. While ago, I saw like a trailer for Code 8, and I thought that was kind of cool. I think it had originally been planned to be released separately, shall I say, and then I think it basically got tangled into like a Netflix kind of situation, and I think it basically became a Netflix film, even though I don't think originally it was a Netflix film. People with powers exist and they've got everyday jobs, but some of them are bad guys and do bad things. Shortest version. The other notable thing about it is it has the Amell brothers, Robbie and Stephen. Stephen is very much from Arrow. Robbie did an updated version of the Tomorrow People, is what I remember him for. And then Code 8, weirdly. I have seen Code 8. I enjoyed it. I can't tell you a single thing that happened in it. Which, going into watching Code 8 Part 2, I was a little concerned about, and part of me was a little bit like, I kind of want to go back and watch the first one just to refresh myself. Ultimately, I don't feel like I missed anything not going back and watching it again, because the second one's very much, in a lot of ways, kind of standalone-ish. It has in it what I would consider to be the, is it Bloom Camp? Robots. So, like, your chappy kind of robots, police droid type things. And this one is more to do with these, like, police dogs. It's got twists, it's got turns, it's got corruption. One thing I will say is it did feel a lot like a story that we've seen a million times before. So on one hand, kind of familiar. On another hand, you're a bit like, is this a story we really need telling again? So there was that. It was good. It was enjoyable. It was fine. You know, kind of like a almost like a Saturday night movie. I didn't watch it on a Saturday night. I watched it on a Wednesday or something. Felt very much like a easy watching Saturday night movie. It was good. It was just it was fine. Yeah, that's movies. Finally, I finished Into the Radius for the second time. I made a different choice at the end, a different decision. It technically didn't give me an ending, which I was a bit like, maybe that was the wrong decision. I kind of did want to go with the other decision, but bottled it right at the very end and just picked the easy way out, should we say. Double-edged sword. Something I found very interesting playing the game for a second time. The familiarity was kind of nice. Something that was really nice was the game was different. Like, missions were different. The way some of the missions came along were different. Having played it already, I knew exactly the equipment that I wanted and needed early on. Things like getting a head torch as soon as possible, getting a particular handgun as soon as possible, getting a particular shotgun at a particular point in time, assault rifle, etc., etc. Got so far in the game and then realised that basically my playthrough, from a loadout perspective, was almost identical. Which, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. On the other hand, probably leaving a lot of meat on the bone by not trying other things. Something that annoyed me when I played it the first time was there's a couple of weapons I wanted to try and use, which didn't give me certain options, certain, not upgrades, but attachments. Those attachments would have changed the weapons I'd have used through the game. And I get it. You can't put a silencer on a Desert Eagle. But I really wanted to. So there was that side of things. Something that has happened, and I feel I need to discuss this. I'm trying to avoid talking about certain things on the podcast because I feel it makes for a broken record situation. However, it also leads into me not talking about certain things. I have finished Into the Radius, and I've got a series of other games that I need to play. Weird thing is that the games I need to play, the short expression is they're not jumping out at me as much as playing Into the Radius does. They are enjoyable, they are fun, I get a lot out of them. But Into the Radius has gone in as one of my favourite games of all time. Thoroughly enjoyable, really ticks a lot of boxes for me as a game player. You know, I have this thing about survival horror that for me as a person I can play, which is very niche kind of market in a lot of ways. Into the Radius ticks that box. You've got the weapons and the weapon customization, and you know, you put this attachment on and you can do this and upgrade it this way, and that really works for me. I have another game which is a lot like it. It's, you know, the other game I've got to play is based in some way on Into the Radius. You know, I need to get back to playing Ghosts of Tabor. What I've found over the last few days is whatever intention I have for sticking the quest on, I haven't, and instead I've had some sort of weird kind of like spiral situation going on. Saturday night, some weird kind of throbbing head. I felt like I had a vein popping out the side of my head situation going on, which meant ultimately I just sat for an hour on the sofa, basically waiting to go to bed, and then went to bed. Last night was like, okay, so I'm definitely going to get cracking playing some Quest. I'm going to install one of my new games that I've got to play. Not new, but new. I'm going to make sure a couple of my other games are installed because I need to go back to those. And, you know, I'm going to play some Ghosts of Tabor. I didn't do any of that at all. So, yeah. And then there's that part of me that's like, maybe I could play Into the Radius again. Yeah. Anyway, another tired podcast from me. Thank you very much, and I will catch you next time. So there we go. What do you think of that? Probably best not to answer. I'm tired, right? Tired. Always tired. All self-inflicted. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you made it this far, please do consider like, share, subscribe, and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review, and check out the website. It's thecookiecast.com. There we've got social media links and an email button, and that way you can get in touch with us. That is it for this one. Until next time, I'm going to say bye, and I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to this awesome Cookie Cast.